thank you for watching today. Will you turn in your Bible with me to Isaiah chapter 9? And I would recommend that you get you a pencil and a piece of paper and write down the scripture references today. If you don't have a Bible, be sure and write them down. But if you do have a Bible, I suggest you get your Bible and turn to the references with us and let's study together. Now, we've been talking about rightly dividing the Word and the things that differ and so forth in the Bible. We've discussed that the Bible is laid out for us, the divisions are laid out for us, like in Ephesians chapter 2, where Paul says that there is a day coming when God is going to show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus, and He calls it the ages to come. Then He says that time passed. We were without God. We were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. He says that we had no hope and were without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, we who back then were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. So I've got three definite divisions or sections there divided in two places in a King James Bible. I've got that which is in time past. I've got that referred to which is now, and that which has to do with the ages to come. Now, on the board, the way that I do this, I say that this over here is that which is past. And time past on my chart would be a reference to that before the Lord appeared to the Apostle Paul. So I'm going to say that right here represents Acts chapter 9. In Acts chapter 9, the Lord appeared to the Apostle Paul, and the message of grace came down to the Apostle Paul. God Almighty saved the Apostle Paul by grace. In fact, he's the first absolute positive example of absolute positive grace in the Bible. Now, people make a reference to Noah, but the Bible said Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And you'll find in Genesis chapter 7 that Noah was righteous above the other people and whatever. But not so with this man Saul. This man Saul was fighting against God. He was persecuting the Christians. He was instrumental in the murder of Stephen and things like that. And so the Lord saved this man. The Lord preached the gospel to him from heaven. Paul said to the Corinthians, he said, I preached unto you that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Now, I'm going to say that right here represents the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came into this world, and Israel, He came as the King of Israel, and the Bible tells me in Romans chapter 15, verse 8, that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision, confirming the promises made unto the fathers. So I know that back here, He was confirming promises out of the Old Testament Scriptures that was made unto Israel, but Israel didn't receive Him. They said, this is not our king. They said, we have no king but Caesar. They said, crucify this man. And they desired, Peter said, a murderer to be granted unto them, and they killed the Prince of Life. And so in Acts chapter 2, Peter preaches unto them that you by wicked hands have crucified and slain the Son of God, but God hath raised Him up. And he's preaching the foolishness of what they did unto them. He's preaching unto them the foolish thing they did. You have rejected the Prince. You've rejected the Messiah. You desired a murder to be granted unto you, he's saying unto them. And you killed the Prince of Life. But God hath raised him up. He's not glorying in the cross. And he's not preaching that the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. He's preaching that you were foolish in doing what you did. And so he's certainly not looking back to the cross, glorying in it. And so we come out here and the Apostle Paul is saved. When Paul is saved, the Lord revealed unto Paul what the cross was all about. He revealed unto him that Jesus Christ had become a sacrifice for him. And he said, there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. And he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. In other words, the sins of the world out here were placed upon Christ, and God reconciled the world unto himself. God made provision with the world that he could save anybody out of the world that would come unto him through Jesus Christ. But Peter didn't see that in Acts chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and so forth. It isn't known by man until it's preached to Paul from heaven. The Lord appeared unto him in glory and preached unto him. So, we've got a dispensation in here, and we're going to call this the dispensation of, I put it up here, it's the dispensation of the gospel according to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Paul said, if I preach the gospel, I have a reward. But if I do it against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. So Paul then was given the dispensation of the gospel. And this gospel, the purpose of this gospel, was to bring about the salvation of people that the Lord had chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. And so we're going to say that in here is the church, which is the body of Christ. And there is only one church in the Bible that's referred to as his body. We find in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, that by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body. We that believe in Christ, we that believe the gospel and trust Christ as our Lord and Savior, have been baptized into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. And he says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20 and 21, that the church, which is the body of Christ, is the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So this is his fullness here. The church, which is his body, is his fullness. And when the last member, when it is full with the fullness of body, then out we go at another appearing of the Lord. So there is an appearing back here. And there is an appearing over here. In other words, the Lord appeared unto Saul and gave him the gospel. That gospel does its work in the world. It calls out a body who trusts Christ and him alone to save them. The Bible tells me in Galatians chapter 1 that Jesus Christ died for us, that he gave himself for us, that he might deliver us from this present evil world. We that believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior shall be delivered out of this present evil world. The Bible said the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And he said the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we that are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And he says in Philippians chapter 3 that our vile bodies are going to be changed and made like unto his glorious body. So all of us that have believed the gospel, we that have trusted Christ, believing in the event that took place in A.D. 33, we are now in that which is called his body, and he's going to change us and make us like unto himself and call us out of this world. Then is the ages to come. So I'm going to put in here, now. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were, time past, afar off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. And then he says that the Lord saved us, in Ephesians chapter 2, and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. So I'm going to put over here the ages to come. That includes the wrath That includes the millennial reign of Christ, and that includes eternity out there. So there is an appearing when the Lord appeared to Saul, Acts chapter 9. There'll be another appearing when he'll appear to the church, which is the body of Christ. But then there is an appearing, and I'm going to put it over here, and that appearing is when he will appear with the church. And he will appear in glory. And it has to do with the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. In here, I'm going to put the tribulation. I'm going to call this the tribulation. Second coming of Christ after the tribulation. An angel, according to Revelation chapter 20, is going to come down. He's got a chain in his hand. And he's going to lay hold on the serpent, that old dragon, the devil himself. And he's going to cast him into the bottomless pit. Put a seal on him. Shut him up. Seal him up. That he should deceive the nations no more. And for 1,000 years, Jesus Christ is going to reign. Now, in Isaiah 9, notice in verse 6. Isaiah 9, 6 says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder." Well, it isn't now. The government is not upon the shoulder of the Lord Jesus Christ now. Jesus Christ is not governing Israel or the world today. If Jesus Christ is governing Israel today, his government is in chaos. That cannot be. Say, well, he's reigning today. He's got a mighty loose reign then. Anybody that says that Jesus Christ is reigning in glory today, got a problem. He says, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government and peace. There shall be no end upon the throne of David," and so forth. Well, then I know that the Lord is going to come again. The Bible is clear pertaining to these things. Look in Isaiah chapter 11. In Isaiah chapter 11, and it's a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ himself. It's a reference to that day when he's going to reign. Notice in verse 2. Let's go to verse 2. It's a reference to the branch. It's a reference to the stem. It's the Lord Jesus Christ himself that came from Judah and came from God. He's the Son of Almighty God, virgin born. Now, verse 2. "And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither approve after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked," a reference to the second coming of Christ. "But you that believe your Bible, you know that the Lord has never smitten the earth with the rod of his mouth." The Lord has never smitten the nations, and the Lord has never burned the Antichrist with the Advent fire at his coming. You know that hasn't happened. Spiritualizing it will get you nowhere. Verse 5, "And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them." You know, I think about, I've watched on television, these film, and at the moment I can't remember what they call them, but they show these animals in the wild. And they show these deer and antelope and different things like that, and lions. how that these lions stalk them. And then they pounce on them and they kill them and they eat them. I saw one the other day. I believe it was a leopard that had a deer that looked like it would be big enough it would be difficult for a man to handle. And that leopard had killed that little deer and carried it up a tree and had it on a limb of a tree. Anyone that believes that the prophecy of Isaiah 11 is taking place today has a problem. There's something wrong up here. In Isaiah chapter 11, verse 6, the wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them. Not so. Not in this age. So in the future. It shall happen in the future when he shall pour out his spirit, as in Joel chapter 2. He said, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. All flesh. And when he does that, then there will be peace. During that period of time, men will dwell together in peace, and the leopard and the lion will lay down together, and on and on and on. But during this age, anybody that believes in this age of the gospel that we are in today, that these things are taking place, you've got something wrong with you. In Isaiah 11, verse 7, and the cow and the bear shall feed, the young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. Well, people are even afraid today that a child would be bitten by, let's say, a black widow spider, and on and on and on. In that day, no way. They'll not be harmed. Verse 9, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Anybody that believes that the earth is filled with the knowledge of the Lord today? No way. No. But it will be then, for they shall see him. He's going to come with power and with great glory, and he's going to reign upon the throne of his father David. As in Luke chapter 1. In Luke chapter 1, the angel said unto Mary, fear not. Thou hast found favor with God. Thou shalt conceive and bear a child. He shall be called great and be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. Hasn't happened, and you know that it hasn't happened. Jesus Christ is not reigning over the house of Jacob. Jesus Christ did not reign over Israel in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Instead, they said, we will not have this man to reign over us. They said, crucify this man. We have no king but Caesar. And so along comes somebody and said, well, he reigned over them anyway, whether they knew it or not. I wouldn't trust a fellow that said things like that to sell me a used car. If you believe the Bible means exactly what it says, as it says it, where it says it, you cannot help but see that Jesus Christ is not fulfilling the prophecies of himself in this age we're living in. Notice in verse 9, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Verse 10, in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign of the people, and to it shall the Gentiles seek, and his rest shall be glorious. He says back there in Isaiah chapter 2, go back there, Isaiah chapter 2. In Isaiah chapter 2, the word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. When do you know of a time that that ever took place? It isn't taking place now. Verse 3, and many people shall go and say, come ye and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He's not talking about some church building standing off the street corner there with a steeple on top and a cross on top of it. That's not the house of the Lord referred to in the context here, and you know it isn't. Why, he said, what house will you build with me? For me, he said, I dwell not in houses made with hands. neither am I worshipped with men's hands as though I needed anything. And on it goes. And yet there is a day where that he's going to be in God's house, and the nations of this world are going to go unto it, and they're going to go to see him, and they're going to go to worship before him. Verse 3, and many people shall go and say, come ye and let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us of his ways. We'll walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Why, anybody that's got enough sense to walk through the woods without bumping into the trees knows that the law and the word of the Lord is not going out of Zion today. It is not going out of Jerusalem today. There is confusion that's coming out of there today. There is war and murder and thievery and whatever that's happening over there today. And you know that the passage is not being fulfilled today. So what do? You spiritualize it. Well, do you spiritualize Isaiah 7:14? Unto us a sign is given. A woman shall be with child and bring forth a son. A virgin shall bring forth a son. Do you spiritualize Matthew chapter 1? The angel of the Lord appeared unto Mary, a virgin, and said, you're going to bring forth a son. Do you spiritualize that also? Or do you, that are listening to me, do you really believe that a physical, visible woman was conceived by the Holy Spirit? Do you believe that a physical, visible woman gave birth to a son? There are those of you out there that attend services on Sunday morning, and you say, yes, I believe that. But you do not believe Isaiah chapter 2. You do not believe Isaiah chapter 11. You do not believe the passages concerning the prophecy of the coming of the Lord. You believe that they are spiritual. Who gave you the authority to spiritualize one passage and claim another as being literal because it fits your denominational standards to do so? Anybody that would do a thing like that's got an immoral motive. In Isaiah chapter 2, notice in verse 4, he shall judge among the nations, certainly isn't doing it now, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Looks to me like somebody ought to go over there and tell those people in Palestine about the verse if it's being fulfilled in this age. They haven't found out about it yet. And if people are not going to learn war anymore, why are people being taught out at Pensacola Naval Air Station about war? Why are they being taught up at Whiting Field about war? These people being taught war today. You that say you believe your Bible.
I didn't touch a thing.
You know that the passage is not fulfilled in this age of grace. And there is no way that you can spiritualize the passage. No, you cannot. It's going to come to pass. The Lord is going to return. And when he returns, he's going to destroy the Antichrist. He's going to burn him with the Advent fire. And he's going to set up his kingdom, and he's going to reign over the house of Jacob. And he's going to reign over the nations, and he's going to rule with a rod of iron, the Bible says. It's going to be a materialistic form of government. The Lord is coming again. But just like Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 3, the scoffers will come in the last days and say, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. People don't believe the Lord's going to come again. They don't believe the wrath's going to fall. But as sure as you're listening to my voice, it's going to come. That event of Revelation chapter 6, when that seal is opened, there in verse 12, the heavens are going to roll up like a scroll. The stars are going to fall. The sun is going to be darkened. The moon turned to blood. In that day, the chief men and the captains and the big shots are going to run for cover. And they're going to hide themselves from the face of him that sits on the throne. And they're going to say to the mountains and hills and the rocks and whatever, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sits on, for the great day of his wrath has come. And who should be able to stand? There is a day when God's wrath is going to fall. There's a day when God's going to say, I've had enough. I won't tolerate this any longer. But we live in an age of grace now. We live in a dispensation now where there is one mediator between God and men. That mediator is the man Christ Jesus. That man Christ Jesus came and he gave himself for your sins at Calvary. And as I said before, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Anybody that will can be saved today. You know what? If you would trust Jesus Christ, if you would look back to Calvary and recognize that Jesus Christ paid for your sins, recognize that an event took place back there, D-33. What happened back there? In A.D. 33, a man was declared guilty in your stead. Think about Barabbas. Oh, Barabbas, the thief and the murderer, the robber. That man's standing there, and he's got a cross prepared for him, and Jesus Christ took Barabbas' cross, and Barabbas went free. And Jesus Christ died in the place of Barabbas. Jesus Christ died in your stead. Barabbas represents you. Jesus Christ was judged in your behalf and found guilty. Crosses are made for criminals. Jesus Christ was numbered among the transgressors, the Bible said. He hung between thieves. Why? Because he was reckoned as a criminal. Why? Because your sin was upon him. Your crimes were placed upon him, and he became sin for you. Him who knew no sin became your sin that you could be made the righteousness of God in him. If you'll believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then God's righteousness will be put to your account, and you will be equal with God in righteousness. Not your righteousness. God's righteousness will be imputed unto you, accounted unto you, and God will see you in his righteousness. You will be put into the body of Christ, and when the Lord calls, he will call you out to meet him in the air, and you'll miss the wrath that's going to come on this world in the future. Why? You will be glorified along with the rest of the church with the body of Christ. Why? Because you believed in Christ as your Lord and Savior. I thank you for listening today. Until next time, good day.